Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Now, I have to apologize. I know if you're accustomed to listening to Days of Our Milton on a regular basis, you expect me to play dramatic, entertaining, sometimes humiliating audio clips from the Milton City Council meetings. I don't have that for you today. What I have for you today is the lead up to the meeting tomorrow night, at which I expect you will have embarrassing, humiliating, entertaining, and dramatic quotes from various elected officials and members of the public. Here's why, okay? If you haven't been following this series, Milton is the Russian novel that never ends, at least the city council, okay? And whether it's the mayor trying to get the city attorney, Alex Andrade, fired, or whether it's the city council actually choosing instead to fire the clerk, Don Molinaro, or whether it's the mayor, Heather Lindsay, doing odd things like calling the candidate for the city manager from her house with the city clerk in order to make a secret phone call away from the prying ears of City Hall. All these things really happen. Okay, or then alleging that once they do hire the city manager, that he is the lackey of the elected officials in Tallahassee, or that he is inadvertently doing the bidding of nefarious developers in Milton, which also happened, that then led to his resignation. There's so much. Not to mention, you know, the fighting among city council, which is normal. Okay, so the mayor has been at the center of a lot of these different things, or kind of has been touching a lot of these things. And now, and by the way, filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission in Tallahassee against the city attorney, Alex Andrade, who also happens to be state representative. So that's the backdrop. All right. Now comes this email. This is Alex Andrade writing an email to city council. Council members, after several months of erratic and abusive behavior, several members of council have asked me what recourse is available to address Mayor Lindsay's harmful, erratic, and aggressive conduct. This trend of erratic behavior has resulted in a... That's three uses of erratic in two sentences. Too much. This trend of erratic behavior has resulted in a toxic and abusive atmosphere at City Hall. Councilman Jeff Snow requested I review and report on specific examples where Mayor Lindsay has engaged in abusive conduct toward members of city staff. These examples are not all-encompassing, and I relied primarily on my own experience in this context, but they do illustrate the existence of the troubling trend. I cannot take action to address these issues without clear guidance from the council, and I am requesting that guidance be provided at your next meeting. Below are two subjects that I believe merit council action. The first subject relates to a complaint submitted by Lindsay to the Florida Bar. The complaint was signed under oath and contains multiple false statements and defamatory accusations. That's against him by her. The second subject relates to the pattern of disregard for employee grievances and the method they should be handled. Okay, like I said, the bar complaint was by Mayor Lindsay against Alex Andrade that he did not do his job as city attorney, particularly in connection with the things around the hiring of Scott Collins, who has now fled the city. I mean, he quit and never to be heard from again. So the one complaint about the bar issue, aside from the allegation of fact errors, is, and it's a long list. I'm not going to bore you with the details. Really, that's kind of beside the point, okay? The key here is that city council has asked Alex Andrade to detail the problems with Heather Lindsay, and now he's written a report explaining why they need to take action or ask somebody what action can be taken, because she's an elected official. They can't remove her directly. There is a provision in Florida statutes by which a charter county or a city official can be removed through a recall vote. Kind of interesting. Anyway, he says, Lindsay's complaint letter to the Ethics Commission, or sorry, the bar, states that it is in her official role as the mayor of the city and on behalf of the city. But Lindsay did not seek and did not obtain the authority of the city council to submit this complaint. She did it on her own. Now, if she does it on her own, it's not really any big deal. But as she says she's doing under the auspices of the office of the mayor as a representative of the city, city council did not vote on recommending Alex be reprimanded or disbarred. So that's just like part one in all of this. So he goes on, he lists all of the ways in which her complaint against the bar were inaccurate, and he gives evidence. There's like 60 pages of evidence. And then the second part is the history of mishandling employee concerns. And there's a lot to this one, but it all has to do with which concerns by employees were legitimate. Were they investigated properly? Were those concerns handled properly? And again, he says over and over in here through several different paragraphs of explanatory writing that, you know, there were lots of times where he thinks that was not properly followed, and that indicates the mayor's ineptness or incompetence, or, you know, she shouldn't be a mayor anymore. The conclusion, this is kind of the payoff of all this. Lindsay has exhibited a willingness to act in a manner that undermines and interferes with the council's will. Lindsay has violated her duty to the city council, to the council, on more than one occasion, and I do not believe she is capable of understanding the consequences of her actions. Lindsay's treatment of members of staff has become abusive, toxic, and professionally embarrassing. I do not believe that Lindsay is competent to continue serving as the city's mayor. It is my recommendation the council authorize me to request a review by a state agency with jurisdiction to address these instances adequately. I am requesting the council give me authority to submit these questions to the Florida Attorney General and the Florida Commission on Ethics for further review. So tomorrow night at the meeting, I'm sure they'll talk about this. And I'm sure it will not be boring. And we'll see what happens from there, whether they authorize him to contact the AG or the Commission on Ethics. I would think they will authorize him to do that, probably on a 5-2 or 6-2 vote. Just depends on who shows up, but it will not be a unanimous vote. We'll see, because I think they're fed up, too, and have become more so over time. Do keep in mind, by the way, Mayor Lindsay is a lawyer.
Cough.
And was the city attorney before Alex Andrade and was told couldn't be that anymore. So it just, you know, there's a lot of drama in Milton, which means that, guess what? Despite the prediction of former city manager, Scott Collins, this series is never going to die. It is never going to go away. Which is sad, because Milton is such a great place, and I really do hope for a future in which this series doesn't exist. But meanwhile, are you not entertained? 717 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
This traffic report brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Looks like New Warrington Road is a little backed up this morning. Headed southbound, it's going to stretch from Jackson Street up to Chiefs Way. Also, Mobile Highway slow in both directions, getting by Beulah Elementary School with the school zone there. NAS front gate traffic is backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway this morning. And Highway 98 eastbound, seeing our normal morning slowdowns. I've got some spotty traffic there from 87 up to the causeway and getting into Windhaven Beach, you know, at the traffic lights along your way. But really, looking around town, not too bad for this time of morning. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing us down, you can let us know by calling or texting our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying a home for the very first time, or maybe you had bought one and now you want to sell it and you want to move up or move across town, or, you know, maybe, you know, you want to downsize or you want to add a home, like a rental, something like that, whatever the case is, Christina Leavenworth, she's the one to call. Give, you know, you can call a couple of realtors. It's okay to interview several different people for a, you know, major life move that you're thinking about, but I'm just saying include Christina on the list. Talk to her, find out what she thinks, because there's all kinds of things to consider, like what's the market doing in that location, in the price range you're talking about? Because that can be different. You know, what $300,000 homes are doing in Gulf Breeze might be different than what $300,000 homes are doing in Pace or in Cantonment or in Warrington. And, you know, what $600,000 homes are doing in those places. What's going on with the Fed? You know, what's going on with interest rates? What's going on with just the law, legal changes, including the recent, you know, settlement with the National Association of Realtors? I mean, these are all good questions to ask. So ask, talk to her. And if you like the kinds of answers she gives, then, you know, use her. I mean, I wish I could go back in time and do our first home sale or purchase with somebody like Christina Leavenworth. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinner Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936. And with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at Pinner.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the purpose of life? This is a question that almost everyone asks themselves at some point. Some people would say their purpose in life is their children, while others would say their purpose in life is their spouse. However, not everyone has children and not everyone is married, so the answer has to be broader than that. The Bible's basic answer to what is the purpose for life is to give God glory in all that we do. And the primary New Testament way to give God glory is to be focused on speaking the message of Jesus Christ to our kids or to our spouse, and really to anyone that we come in contact with. The purpose of this life is to lovingly and boldly explain the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let us be about our Father's business.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you.
Two former Mississippi officers, part of a group known as the Goon Squad, are now headed to prison. They are sentenced to about 2 decades each for the beating and torture of 2 black men last year. 4 more members face sentencing later this week.
This story is bad. This is really, really bad, okay? And I know some people have the reaction to a story like this that, hey, you know, this is just another example of you're going to make all police officers look bad and, you know, they're all a bunch of racists. Okay, I understand that concern, okay? And it's certainly true that, you know, there's a lot of times where news reporters will jump on stories as if it's evidence of a thing where it's not, or they'll over-exaggerate, or they don't tell you the good stuff either, okay? But if you're going to be pro-law enforcement, you have to also be willing to say, oh my God, not in this case. And this is one of those cases.
Two former Mississippi deputies sentenced to federal prison for torturing 2 black men last year. One sentenced for 20 years, the other for 17 and a half. Both members of a self-proclaimed 6-person goon squad, known in the area for their use of excessive force and aggressive tactics.
This is a message to all racist police officers in every department in Mississippi and throughout the United States of America, that beware that justice will be coming your way.
See, the reason that you can be in favor of law enforcement is because you hate dirty cops, you hate bad cops, you hate biased, bigoted abusers of people, which these guys confessed. They pled guilty at every level. These 6 officers, they call themselves the Goon Squad. You know what the Goon Squad is? That's a bunch of morons who use excessive force. That's where that comes from. And I get the certain psychology of, you know, what they might have said, with the Goon Squad, you know, but no, this is really, really bad. What they did, I'm going to read to you some of this stuff, okay? This is really ugly. The officers, they claim, illegally entered the home and handcuffed, kicked, waterboarded, and tased them, attempted to sexually assault them over nearly 2 hours, before one of the deputies put a gun in one of the guy's mouths and shot him. Oh, the gun didn't go off, so he racked the slide, ejected the bullet, and shot him again, and did actually shoot him. Their repeated use of racial slurs in the course of their violent acts were oppressive and hateful against African-American victims, the lawsuit says. Defendants motivated on the basis of race and color of the skin of the persons they assaulted. Again, that's the lawsuit. But these guys confess. I mean, they pled guilty. He had the guy on his knees, put the gun in his mouth, fired it again, didn't discharge. He racks it, shoots it again. The bullet only broke his jaw and went out through his neck, lacerated his tongue. That's why the guy speaks with a speech impediment now. Like, this is atrocious behavior by law enforcement.
According to court documents, Hunter Elward, Jeffrey Middleton, and four other officers broke into a home without a warrant. They shouted racial slurs, physically and sexually assaulted their victims, Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Parker, and planted fake evidence on them. All six entered guilty pleas in August. The two victims survived, but the torture that night culminated with Elward shooting Jenkins in the mouth.
This guy never go away.
These scars will never go away is what he said. You can barely understand him. The officers tried to destroy the evidence. They offered to plant a throwdown gun that they had in the patrol car on Jenkins, the victim. Instead, they planted a BB gun, apparently, all while he was bleeding and not receiving medical attention. They discarded the shell casing. They threw the soiled clothes into a wooded area and stole the hard drive from the home surveillance system before throwing it in a creek. They threatened to kill other... Listen... The reason you have any credibility to talk about how law enforcement officers are good is because when they're bad, you're willing to talk about that too. This is every worst nightmare that anybody has ever alleged against a cop. And it really happened. And you'd be naive to think it doesn't happen. It does happen. There are genuinely horrific things that get done by the small percentage of truly awful cops out there. You'd be absolutely naive to think that that's not true. At the same time, the question is, so what conclusions do you draw about police in general? And what inferences do you make about all cops based on these? And by the way, good cops are the ones who hate this the most because it makes them all look bad. But yeah, this is really, really bad. And it is just one example. It is not the only example. It is also not the truth about all cops. And you have to be willing to say all of those things when you're going to talk about a story like this. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic for us. Jake?
This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. New Warrington Road this morning backed up southbound from Jackson Street all the way up to Chiefs Way. Also, Mobile Highway slow in both directions getting by Beulah Elementary School with the school zone there. NAS front gate traffic is backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway. Highway 98 eastbound, seeing our normal morning slowdowns, like from 87 to the causeway is a little slow, and then getting by a few traffic lights heading up to Windhaven Beach. Also, I-10 getting by Pine Forest, starting to see our normal morning congestion there. If you see anything else out there on our roadways and you want to report it to us, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 850-437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping. Landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A federal appeals court putting the Texas immigration law back on hold. A three-judge panel in the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals voted yesterday against an earlier ruling from another panel that put the law into effect. Former President Trump says he'll need to be taking extreme measures, including possibly selling properties quickly for fire sale prices to pay his $464 million bond in the New York civil fraud case. And police in Los Angeles reportedly investigating a burglary at the home of retired NBA great Paul Pierce. TMZ reports that his home was broken into last Friday. The thieves apparently made off with over $100,000 in cash and several luxury watches.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, this Supreme Court story with the Texas law, my God. I know it's confusing, okay? I'm going to, in like 30 seconds, try my best to explain it. But SB4 was the Texas law that allows them to deport people who are there illegally, state judges, and to, you know, prevent people from coming in. The U.S. District Court judge, David Ezra, issued a prohibition of enforcement while the litigation would proceed. That's very, very normal. The Fifth Circuit then put his stay on hold, meaning they were back to being able to enforce. The Biden administration appealed to the Supreme Court to lift the stay, there's no good language here. The short version of all this is that the Supreme Court said that in the meanwhile it's ongoing, these reasons don't justify a stay of enforcement, but then the appellate court re-ruled overnight that they cannot continue to enforce. You say, how can that happen? It is so complicated, I can't possibly explain it to you on the air. all the legal reasons why an order for enforcement might get stayed or unstayed. But nothing is settled yet. There's a long litigation future involved in this case.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A federal appeals court again blocks a Texas immigration law hours after a 6-3 Supreme Court ruling allowing its enforcement until that appeals court rules.
It allows state law enforcement to detain those that they suspect crossed from Mexico into Texas illegally. Supreme Court said good to go. A few hours later, the circuit court said, no, we're going to put this on hold while we consider the case.
Fox's Rich Edson. Ohio could be key to Republicans taking back the Senate, and Trump-backed candidate Bernie Moreno is the winner of the Republican primary there.
Moreno, a former car dealership owner who has never held elected office, defeating State Senator Matt Dolan, who earned the support of Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, and defeating Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Moreno will take on three-term Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown in November.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. A decision on interest rates will be announced by the Federal Reserve Bank today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 44 degrees, sunshine in Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves not releasing a lot of additional details after this cyber attack that happened over the weekend. While he did confirm FDLE and Pensacola Police, though, are both involved in the investigation, he says it's too soon to say whether personal information was impacted.
It's too early to say, you know, one way or the other on that. Obviously, we understand that that's going to be the number one question. And so, again, we continue to get updates minute by minute. And certainly, when there's an answer, a definitive answer in that one way or the other, we'll be providing that as soon as possible.
And as of now, the city says there's been no interruption to airport 911 or police and fire operations 311. Was down, but was back up by Monday evening. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody issuing a warning for spring breakers. She says she's giving more resources to local police. They're trying to combat deadly drug overdoses as more people are visiting the state right
we
now.
We lead the nation for those who overdose while on vacation. And that is a stat that we want to change.
Moody says law enforcement will be joining the Helping Heroes program. They'll also be getting extra Narcan supplies. She says a lot of kids are getting drugs off the black market, which often includes fake pills that have been laced with fentanyl. Former President Trump suing ABC News and George Stephanopoulos for defamation.
The lawsuit centers around Stephanopoulos' interview with Congresswoman Nancy Mace earlier this month. During the interview, Stephanopoulos said Trump had been found liable for rape. A New York jury found Trump liable for sexual abuse, but not rape. Trump has previously unsuccessfully sued media organizations such as CNN, The Washington Post, and The New York Times for defamation. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The 14-year-old accused of fatally shooting a 15-year-old boy last week in Pensacola will be tried as an adult. The state attorney's office confirming yesterday Remington Crum's case has been moved to the adult court. He's now facing a charge of second-degree murder and accused of killing 15-year-old DeMarco Banks at an apartment complex on North 9th Avenue last Thursday. Investigators have also charged 19-year-old Rumaria Union with accessory after the fact. Last Friday, Crum's mother talked with Channel 3. She said that she believed Crum's may have been a victim of bullying leading up to that incident. In Fort Walton Beach yesterday, civil rights attorney DeWitt Lacey announced a new lawsuit being filed against the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. This is in connection to that officer-involved shooting in November. Last month, the Sheriff's Office confirmed that Deputy Jesse Hernandez had resigned in December after the incident. Marquise Jackson was detained, handcuffed, placed in a squad car. Deputies investigated a report of a stolen car then, and Hernandez heard the sound of an acorn falling on top of the car. He thought it was a gunshot and opened fire.
On November 12th, my life changed forever. I haven't been the same since. Will I ever have a peace of mind again? Imagine being shot at a tremendous amount of times while handcuffed in the backseat of a cop car by the ones we call to protect our community.
And the sheriff's office said Hernandez had resigned before he could be interviewed in their investigation. Jackson wasn't hurt in that incident and was not charged with a crime. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
Okay, I-10 eastbound, really, really slow going this morning. That's going to stretch all the way from Pine Forest all the way past Highway 29 and even past Palafox Street. It's just very, very slow going eastbound on I-10 right now. Highway 98 is looking good through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. Seeing a little bit of slowdown on Highway 29 south in the Inslee area. Let's see here. Looks like New Warrington Road is still a little bit slow, backed up southbound from Jackson Street up to Chiefs Way. Mobile Highway slow in both directions, getting by Beulah Elementary School. And NAS front gate traffic is backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway. Highway 98 eastbound, seeing our normal morning slowdowns from Navarre Beach all the way up to Windhaven Beach. But not really, really bad for this time of morning. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing us down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Channel 3 weather.
We will have sunny skies today with a high near 69 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. For Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high near 73. Thursday night, 40% chance of rain with a low near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 45 in Pensacola, 41 in Gulf Breeze, and 40 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chipotle Mexican Grill said it plans to do a 50-for-1 stock split to make its shares more accessible to employees and a broader range of investors. The company will seek shareholder approval for the split at its annual meeting on June 6th. The company's stock closed at nearly $2,800 yesterday, which is up 22% since the beginning of the year and 74% over the past 12 months. The average interest rate for a 30-year mortgage increased to 6.97% from 6.84%, the first increase in 3 weeks. As a result, applications for a mortgage to purchase a home fell 1% for the week and were 14% lower than the same week 1 year ago. The Federal Reserve is meeting today, which could have a significant impact on the trajectory of mortgage demand this spring. Futures are currently mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials were up 320, the NASDAQ up 63. That's your money now.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan?
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Attention all empowered women. Jim's Firearms is inviting you to celebrate Women's History Month with purpose and passion. Join us as we champion women's empowerment with the motto, Guns Rights or Women's Rights. Jim's Firearms is dedicated to education and ensuring you have the tools to protect yourself. Be a part of the movement and let the team guide you through a first-rate, non-intimidating, comfortable gun buying experience. Visit Jim's Firearms at the corner of Serena Road and Blue Angel Parkway or find them online at jimsfirearms.net.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. Followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola. Heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with us this morning. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning. I am great. I'm doing really well. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff to get to, but we've got to start with the big news, which is the city of Pensacola is in the midst of what you guys are calling a network security incident. And I know you've been very cautious about what specific things you might say about this, but let's maybe start with this. is this a ransomware attack? Is this a malfunction within the systems? Did you guys break something? Did somebody else break it? Is it malware? I mean, and what's happening? Because I feel like I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're calling it a network security incident because that really covers everything that it could be. And understand, because this is something cybersecurity related, sometimes we don't associate this the same way that we would an investigation by PPD, for example. And as I mentioned yesterday, FDLE is now involved in this for, you know, state regulation. Certainly grateful to have them on board to, you know, help us through this, because there's really two things to figure out. Is one is who are the threat actors? And then number two is just the general, you know, getting back to 100% in terms of operation. So we have two things going at once. And so in no way is it us trying to be evasive, but it's an open, active investigation. And so it's certainly not my place, nor do I have the most knowledge about exactly what's happening as it pertains to the investigation itself. So so it's not by choice. It's just by the same way a police department, sheriff's department, an active investigation is not, you know, getting into a whole lot of detail. That's kind of the position that we're taking.
Okay. So, but I mean, from what you're saying, it was something done. It was a criminal act. I mean, somebody did something to the city. You guys are trying to investigate what that is and then deal with that as you're also recovering all of the implications of what was actually done. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Okay. All right.
Details of what, who, the, you know, the five W's,
right.
You know, we either don't know or can't get into, but, you know, and look, the number one question is, I'm a citizen of the city, just like the other 55,000. The number one question everybody wants to know is, well, what's with going on with my information?
Sure.
You know, the truth be told, it's too early to say one way or the other. Obviously, I think common sense would tell you that if I was sitting here right now and we knew for a fact that had taken place, there's a protocol for that. That's what I can tell you. So,
okay.
But it's too early to say. And even once systems are back up and we have cleared, you know, everything at the city, there's still going to be investigation going on more than likely from a threat actor side. And there's going to be some investigation going on to make sure we are confirmed one way or the other on whether there's been, you know, data that's been taken by these threat actors.
And what, I mean, obviously we had this happen a few years ago under Mayor Robinson, just after the NAS Pensacola attack, not connected except in time. And sometimes what we know is that a municipality might come to, you know, international attention through the news and then people decide to attack because that's just how these things work. But I assume that I assume that we're in a much better place than we were then because we've gone through it. And I assume that because of what happened before, you guys are taking precautions and doing training to be as defensible as possible in the wake of in the face of future possible attacks.
Absolutely. I would say we are in a much, much better starting position in 2024 than we were from what I was told with many of the same folks. Still in the building from 2019. And so very grateful for that, our IT department. And remember, we have an incident commander for these types of things, which is Chief Craner of the fire department. The same way if we had a hurricane, the same way if we had something else, we have a protocol. We have a COOP plan, emergency plan in place for these exact efforts. And within the IT department, we have protocols and these are things that we train on. These are things that so I'm very grateful that we have that infrastructure in place and that we continue to follow that. And, you know, as things become functional again in the coming hours and days, again, I'm getting two operational briefings every day. I got one at 9:30, another at 4 today to continue to know what we can get out to the citizens. And the latest was yesterday afternoon, just in case you didn't see it, Pensacola Energy and sanitation customers, we are aware that the online pay system is down. You will not be getting a late fee or you will not be getting dinged because our system is down. Obviously, we are very cognizant of that. We appreciate everybody's patience with it, but we're going to be customer first in that sense and certainly not make – yeah, I don't want there to be any anxiety out there that because you can't pay your bill today, that your gas is going to be cut off or that you're going to get a late fee that you wouldn't deserve. So we're on top of that.
And,
well.
And I will say this on your behalf because I know it's true just from knowing you, that if somehow or other, because of this, you get assigned some kind of a late fee or a penalty for any of your various accounts you might do business with the city on, you know, you guys are willing to fix that afterwards because you're well aware that that's not the customer's fault. Can I just get an amen on
absolutely.
That? Yeah. Okay. No doubt about it. Yeah. And I know that's the case. That's why I wanted to give you a chance to say it. We're going to come back to this because I know people still have lots of questions. I'm going to try to ask as many as I can. We're talking to DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Sure. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake.
All right. Seeing a little bit of slowdown on north. This is New Warrington Road. It's backed up southbound from Jackson Street up to Chiefs Way. Also, NES front gate traffic is a little slow this morning, backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. I-10 eastbound, very slow from Pine Forest, stretching all the way past Palafox. A couple fender benders along the way there. And
you don't get to make me play the sound clip.
Well, I knew that, so I had to make it my own. I had to come up with that one on the fly. Highway 90 coming out of Pace, very slow going once you get down towards the Escambia River Bridge. And then if you're on Scenic Highway as well, seeing some slowdown there headed south. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know about it. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor DC Reeves. Okay, particular questions, because I think one of the anxiety frustrations people have is that they – you know, they're not sure what is happening. So here's some of my questions. Pensacola Airport has or has not been affected?
100% has not been affected. And let me give you an additional detail on that. We had the two largest passenger throughput days this past weekend in the history of the airport.
Oh, so, wow.
So it is. So if there, that's a concrete, tangible example that operations are as normal as the airport.
Okay. The Port of Pensacola has or has not been affected?
Has not been affected.
Okay. Pensacola Energy, you already said the bill pay has been affected. Any other part of Pensacola Energy that has or has not been affected that you can say?
There's none, and I want to start. No impacts to any enterprise, energy, port, airport, and no impacts to 911. The only deviation we've had is some of our non-emergency phone numbers had been moved. I believe those have already been moved back. But there's a list, and I know the media has been great about sharing. We just have had some alternate phone numbers for some of our offices, departments, and things okay. like that. But any mission critical, any emergency based functions, we have not lost any functionality whatsoever or at any.
So PPD, same thing. It either has not affected
correct.
Them or does not affect anything substantial.
That's correct.
Okay. Should people still pay their bills to the city in whatever form, if they can? How do you want that handled?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, there's still the ability to put it in the mail, to drop it off at the City Hall facility.
You mean write a check on paper?
And look, I have as much sympathy for that as anyone. As I always say, I'm a millennial. I don't carry checks. But so I totally understand that. But just rest assured, if you are used to paying by bill pay, or something like that, we are going to make it right for the customer, for the citizen, in terms of do not have any anxiety, like we said, over late fees or anything like that. And if you notice one 3 months from now, that was during that time, certainly we will, again, make sure that we take care of that.
What about, like, permitting and construction and things that, you know, a delay of a couple of days could be pretty significant for their operations? Is there an effect there?
Yeah, so obviously some of the software that that is being used to be able to issue permits and all that, some of that I don't want to get into every detail, not because it's secret, because I'll get it wrong, but there's some limitations in the permitting office. That being said, the permitting office is open, you know, for questions, for things like that. Everyone is here on site. So yes, they'll be able to better explain to you if you're building a house or something like that, what those limitations are. But what I'll tell you is I met with every department director on Monday, and we have asked them to look into, if you are a citizen or a customer interacting with your department, how could these delays impact you? And to be, we are going to play offense and be proactive about making sure if there was a deadline for Friday that is going to be missed because of this, we're giving everybody more than the benefit of the doubt, of course, but based on this issue happening. And one other thing, Andrew, to mention is jobs has come up as a question. Our jobs board and job application process is cloud-based. That has not been affected. So in terms of if there's a Friday deadline on a job this Friday, you could apply for it now. You could apply for it yesterday. So from a jobs board, city jobs perspective, everything's all clear there.
Okay, so potholes are being filled, bad guys are being arrested, trash is being picked up, planes are flying, boats are boating, and you know, as soon as everything else can be restored, it will be. And if anybody has had their information violated, there's a whole protocol for handling that, and law enforcement is doing the investigation, and we will know more when we know more. Did I give the best 18-second summary I can give?
Yeah, that's very concise, and I just do want to reiterate, you know, if people ask, you know, why don't we have more information, understand my primary goal is to get the city back up and running and to let the legal authorities do their job. That's my number one goal. As much as I wanted everyone else to know all the details and all that, and there are a lot of details I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, those are our two primary functions right now. And so certainly as we can share more information, we will absolutely be doing that.
Well, look, I've always said, and I will say again, in this circumstance, you know, if there's an incident going on and I call the sheriff and he doesn't answer, I figure he's doing law enforcement stuff. That comes first. Talking to me comes second. If I don't have details from the mayor, I assume it's because you're doing important city stuff and, you know, telling me comes second. That never bothers me. So I don't worry about that at all. Well, I always like to finish. We got so many other stuff we could get to. We'll just wait for next week. No worries. This is the big thing that people are concerned about. And I think I've asked you all the questions that anybody has asked me. Quickly, the lightning round, just for a little bit of fun, because we need it today. If there were one more season of a TV show that you could have made because they canceled it too quickly, what's your one more season of a TV show you want?
Not because it canceled too quickly. I think it closed out, but just because I would say Breaking Bad is probably my favorite show, but not because they needed another season.
Right, exactly. What is the highest level of math that you actually use in your adult life?
Oh, you'll get me on a soapbox about this. If it's only rationalizing poor grades in algebra, you know? You know, I would say probably somewhere in the 6th, 7th grade area, I'm sure. I'm right. Sorry, teachers. Sorry.
Well, no, it's accurate. I mean, all the kids who said, I'll never need to know this, you're one of those kids who never did need to know it. So I appreciate that. And last one, this is actually today's topic. On your phone for apps, like social media apps, for example, notifications audible, on the screen only, or none at all?
Very few on the screen. I haven't had my ringer on my phone in years. It's all been vibrate for anything.
Safer.
So, yep. Very, very few notifications on my phone because if not, I would never get anything done.
It would be all notifications all the time. I understand that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, exactly. City of Pensacola, sir, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for the information. Thanks for the time this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3. If you're 64 turning 65 or you are retiring soon, you're going to make the switch over onto Medicare. And that can be, you know, I mean, unsettling because it's different. It's new. It's something you've never done before. Your whole life you've been doing insurance one way. Now you're going to do it a different way. You got questions like, what is Advantage? What is supplement? What is Medicaid? Does that apply to me? What about prescription drugs? Fine. All good questions. The funny thing is they all have easy answers. And I've got a good friend named Ricky Stewart. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She is such a sweetheart. You're going to love her. She knows the answers to those questions. So many of you have talked with her and gotten your answers, and she will take care of you. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does, is that transition over onto Medicare. So give her a call or look her up online. Her number is 341-2185, or you can just look her up, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
It's Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event, and Beatmore Imports is offering low APR rates to help celebrate. How low? How about 0% for 60 months on all 2024 Tiguan models? Or take $2,000 in customer cash and 1.9% for 60 months on all 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport models. Or take $3,000 in customer cash. It's time to celebrate and get behind the wheel of a Volkswagen SUV or crossover today. There's plenty to go around, but with rates like these, they may not be around for long. And don't forget about the 2024 Jetta, Golf GTI, and Golf R. They're all available, too, at Beatmore Imports. Celebrate the Volkswagen 75th anniversary sales event at Beatmore Imports today. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beatmore Imports is at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit is PCI. Must take delivery by April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Join Lakeview Center's Cindy McLaughlin, Specialty Program Manager, today at 10 for their show about opioid overdose awareness. What you need to know about opioids. How fentanyl cannot be easily detected in opioids. Help is available for support and free Narcan. Plan to tune in and contact Lakeview Center's OPUS program. Visit elakeviewcenter.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Celebrate Easter together with the help of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. At Costello's, you'll find a variety of prime rib, lamb, beef tenderloins, and hams. From the best steak cuts to exotic meats, Costello's has it all for a happy Easter. You'll find a great selection of wine specials, cannoli trays, pies, cheesecake, and more. From Boar's Head Deli Meats, free lunches for the kiddos, and the Italian family hospitality, it's only at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. A great place to meet up and wine all you want on the west side of Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm your number one fan.
Dear F Dot, I'd like to get a refund on I-10. Can we get a refund? It's broken.
It's really bad
right
now.
2 days in a row. Come on, people. Right in the same vicinity, too. Mm-hmm. Jake, tell them about the awful traffic on I-10 and southbound 29.
Okay, this awful traffic report is brought to you by Pensacola Habitat for Humanity. Starting almost, let's see here, that's going to be right at 9 Mile Road on I-10 eastbound. Once you're passing that exit, it's going to be almost a parking lot, basically. From there, stretching all the way past Highway 29, we're going to be way far east of Palafox, where this accident is that's just causing this major slowdown. Also, Highway 29 south getting through Inslee, going toward I-10, going to be very, very slow headed in that direction. Also, Highway 90 coming out of Milton and Pace this morning, once you get near the Escambia River Bridge, that's going to be very, very slow. And then if you get onto Scenic, very, very slow traffic on Scenic in both directions heading down towards Highway 290 there or East Olive Road. Otherwise, around town, we're looking decent. Highway 98 is flowing in both directions, east and west, through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. Looks like in Milton, not seeing too many delays up around the bend there on the going to the bridge to Stewart Street. Seeing a little bit of slowdown, but that's normal for this time of morning. Otherwise, we're looking good. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity Home Buyers Program, serving Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org/homebuyer to learn more or apply. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
That was a very awful traffic report, Jake.
It was, and it was really awful because I forgot to say that NES front gate traffic backed up all the way to Sunset as well.
Too. All the fun stuff today.
Yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Michigan will soon no longer be the only state that bans paid surrogacy. The state Senate there passed a bill this week to repeal the law. They sent it to the governor, who says she does plan to sign that. Efforts to get U.S. citizens out of Haiti continuing today. At least one state official saying there is reason for optimism. Two rescue flights were supposed to leave yesterday. Those plans fell through. But Kevin Guthrie with the Division of Emergency Management says that they will fly today.
All right, David. So. Thanks so much for the explanation. This story about the 14-year-old being charged as an adult, man, I want to know more. That's hard to fathom. 14 is a long way from 18. But I want to know history and past offenses and what justifies that.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.